It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic Chimeras Comics. Now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you. This is Caffeinated Comics. I'm your host, Batman.
That is awesome.
Or in my secret identity, John with an allergy attack.
Yes.
This is what I sound like every spring, and I'm sure if you find the episode last spring where I sounded like this, I'm sure there was one.
Yeah, go 51 episodes ago and John sounded just like this.
Yeah, maybe we see 2E2.
You should just start laying out lines from Brave and the Bold.
I was following Ben around all day just going, Commissioner.
Oh, that sounds awesome. It actually is a pretty good imitation.
I couldn't think of any lines, so I just kept naming people from Batman behind him. And he's like, you don't sound like Batman. And I went, Alfred. He's like, yes, you do.
Do it again.
With me is 85% always is my co-host.
Steven Brown.
Who sounds normal.
I do sound normal today.
And Dave Redfield's here.
Hey.
And Stu McLean is back.
Hello.
It's been like a year.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
Probably we've had a lot of people back where it's been a year.
Yeah. Well, we have so many good, awesome guests.
I know. That's why I like doing the show. Well, the big news this week, why everyone's here, is that as part of an April Fool's joke, Deadpool said the movie was going to be PG-13. And then at the end, they confirmed that it's a rated R movie. So it'll be the first rated R Marvel movie.
Yeah.
Since Punisher Warzone.
But it would be really more of a rated...
It's not Marvel Studios. It's Fox. Oh, it's Fox.
Because Deadpool's part of X-Men.
Oh, right.
So it would be the Fox version of a rated R movie. That's what people need to...
So I kind of wanted to talk about rated R superhero movies. And actually, as I thought, there have been a lot of them. You know, the Blade trilogy.
Yeah.
Both Punishers were. And then further than that, Jonah Hex, I think, was R on the DC side. And then also some of the sci-fi films. There was a whole era in the late 80s
of like
RoboCop, Terminator, Predator, Aliens, although the first Aliens is a horror film, but sci-fi action movies that were all rated R.
Yeah.
And let's just jump right into it. I kind of want to get you guys' impression. What's the difference to you of a rated R movie versus a PG-13 movie?
I think if you're going to get into rated R, all right, so there's going to be language and gore, I think, are the two big things that are going to give it a rated R. And I think that's, especially with Deadpool, that's what you're going to get, where it's, they're going to just go gory because they can. And it's going to be like gratuitous, so it's going to be rated R.
Yeah, it's going to fall more in lines of like language. Because I just saw the trailer for Ted 2, and all I thought to myself is just like,
oh, that was this a filthy movie.
Yeah, but this is like rated R just because of language and like what this, it's a teddy bear doing these adult themes. So you're just like, and this is rated R. It's like, okay, I understand. So for Deadpool to be going like, this is the tone of humor you're going to see. Only instead of a teddy bear, it's going to be a mercenary with knives cutting off people's heads. And it's just like, you got to know, like, it's a rated R, but it's not a hard R. It's like a soft curve R just for the fun.
I think it'll be fully rated R just because the two things that Deadpool's known for is violence and language. And that's what they're going to have a lot of in the movie, because you'll have people getting arms chopped off, throwing them back. Him.
Well, it's like Blade was like that.
Well, and that's, you talk about Blade, if without Blade and Blade being rated R, that's what started off this whole trend of comic book movies way back in the day, if not for Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, Blade comes out a year after Batman and Robin, which killed the previous
and that's reignited it, because it was after the success of Blade that they were like, oh, we'll make X-Men next.
Yeah.
And
that's
then Spider-Man.
True.
But I think what I'm thinking is, you know, what we were, me and John were talking before the show about, you know, Ben's what, 8 years old, 9 years old?
Yeah, it'll be 8 soon.
Yeah. So when this movie comes out, Deadpool is a character he associates from like the cartoons.
Yeah,
where
he loves Deadpool. Deadpool did an episode of Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah. He's been on Ultimate Spider-Man. There's a lot of.
I'll tell you this, when you guys came over, Ben was playing with the Millennium Falcon, and he had, I said, pick whoever you want. Because I gave him all the 3¾-inch figures this week.
Yeah.
I said, take whoever you want, whoever fits in there. He went upstairs, came back with Batman, Wolverine, and Deadpool.
Yeah.
Well, so he loves
Deadpool. Deadpool was the host of the Lego Marvel game. Like he was,
And Ben's finished that game.
Yeah,
yeah, like, he's a big, big character,
and that's because he could like what break the fourth wall, right?
Yep.
That's
his. Like, well, he's goofy. Comedic superhero. Yeah, yeah,
in the same way that Spider-Man's goofy, but he's a mean Spider-Man. Is kind of the way.
Isn't DC's version of that ambush bug?
It was.
Now I think it's Harley.
Yeah.
Really?
The way Connor and Palmiotti have been pushing that book and the way they sell that book now.
Yeah, female. It's advertised like
female Deadpool.
Deadpool is.
Look at our costume, too.
Yeah.
But I think it's something where, you know, so because it's that character is marketed to a young, young audience, you know, obviously the idea of hooking these kids on these characters so they grow up to and they start reading the more violent Deadpool comics and such. The problem is with a character like Punisher or Blade, your kid doesn't even maybe know who those characters are. All kids know who Deadpool is, so all kids are going to go on to go see this movie, and now you run the risk of, okay, how many people are then you alienating because it's an R-rated movie? And you get the same amount probably of people, different, you know, demographics, but who, when it's a PG-13 movie, get all pissed off. So it's like you can't really please.
Right. I remember parents being really upset when Revenge of the Sith was PG-13, because it's the only Star Wars movie that wasn't PG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's that lightsaber fight at the end where he's like cutting arms off and legs off.
Yeah, he basically makes him a
cripple.
Quadriplegic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but I don't think the filmmakers are thinking about, oh, we want to please this demographic or please that demographic.
Well, the guy who's ever making the movie artistically isn't thinking about that. But the guys who are injecting money into it to make the it producers. Happen are.
And it's true. Like, here's a big dilemma. Okay, for Deadpool being a radar, producer-wise thinking. The movie, remember, what was it, Reno 911? They came out with a rated R, Reno 911, and the producers, I think it was Universal, was thinking like, oh, this is no-brainer. We're going to be raking in tons of money. Sadly, the demographic for Reno was kids that could only go see PG-13 movies. So the biggest thing they heard was, oh, I love Reno 911. It's my favorite. Did you see it in the theaters? It's like, no. I bought tickets to go see Ghost Rider, and I snuck in to go see Reno.
Ghost Rider made more money.
And Ghost Rider, honestly, like, that's the official word.
Yeah.
It's like, because it was a rated R movie, and people couldn't sell these tickets.
Prime demographic couldn't.
To, like, 16-year-olds, you know?
Yeah.
16, 17-year-olds. Like,
yeah.
They have to buy a PG-13 movie. That's what happened. That's what could happen with Deadpool. I don't want it to happen in Deadpool. But the thing is like, it stinks because this is going to be Deadpool. Yeah, he's going to be killing people, but it's not like, it's not a hardcore graphic. Like, it needs that hard R.
I don't think it might alienate some demographic, but there's going to be enough people that are going to go see it. And then, like, DVD sales, like, there's no question
this is going to do huge.
Yeah, it's going to be a strong movie. Yeah, I think it's going to help Ryan Reynolds a lot, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he honestly, you figure if he cocks this up, I mean, who is going to trust him to do what?
Well, he's had a string of bombs, too.
All his movies have bombed in the last couple of years. They're not going to use him for Green Lantern. It's like, I think his career is riding on this movie. And I think just from it being a Deadpool movie, though, you're going to get tons and tons and tons of people seeing this. Because it's the number one book kids come in for at the shop.
Yeah. Really?
You know, teenagers. Oh, this is the number one book kids come in. Do you have any Deadpool comics? Because it's a no-brainer. It's just like he's very like slapstick. It's like it's comedic.
Stories are usually self-contained. You can pretty much grab any issue off the shelf.
You can grab any issue off the shelf. It pokes fun at itself. So if these kids are thinking, oh, it's not cool to read comics. Oh, but I read Deadpool because, you know, he makes fun of it, or it's graphic, or it's, you know, adult. Yeah. You know, people think like, oh, it's a mature comic, so you have to be a mature person to read it. But it's like, Deadpool's like toilet humor.
Yeah. It's completely immature.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's just like, I don't know, it's a frustrating character to begin with. But it's like, you can't argue.
That's a character you don't like.
Oh, I fucking hate him, if I haven't made that clear. But it's something where it's just like, I think it's going to be so popular with that just under our demographic, where it's like kids right before 2021.
And isn't that the demographic that shouldn't be going to an R-rated film?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but they could make it NC-17 and it would still make millions.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? I think they could make it.
Well, no, because here's the truth of the matter.
They never would. I'm just saying, like, it doesn't matter what it's rated.
But, you know, the biggest movies are never R, because you're cutting off a whole swath of that demographic. And people are going to sneak into it, and people are going to get it on DVD. But,
you know, like, there's a lot of parents that'll still take kids Ben's age to go see
PG-13 movies.
And see a rated R movie.
Yeah.
I would, you know, it's just like, I know there's people at the store who shop at the store. There's subscribers and there's regular customers that have kids that take their kids to like rated R movies. They just, you know, well, who cares? And that's, you know, none of my business. I'm not a parent. But all I'm saying is they wouldn't do that if it was an NC-17 movie.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There's a huge line there.
Well, I won't do it if it's an R movie. That's my
my hard line. Just, you know, he's too young, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he can pretty much see any PG-13 movie because he's shown that he's able to handle it.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't get nightmares. He doesn't, you know, I took him to Thor Dark World. I took him to Captain America Winter Soldier.
Yeah, because he knows
he loved that. I took him to Guardians of the Galaxy. But I'm not going to take him to
an R-rated Deadpool movie because you know it's going to be ridiculous.
I mean, but just from the point of, like, look at all those R-rated movies that you named in the beginning, like RoboCop, Aliens.
Those are the good ones.
Terminator. Those are all the good ones. Like,
yeah, but that's another thing, too. Those were all made in the 80s when PG-13 comedies I cannot show in the store.
True.
And that's what I'm saying. I think that's what we've seen is like comedies have gotten toned down, but then these action movies or these horror movies were that hard R. We've where softened it, always, it up
like,
a little
bit. It was sex, teenagers having sex in the camp woods. You got to see nudities. That was your horror movies in the 80s. And also like all your awesome action movies were all like, oh, at one point or another, there's going to be topless boobs floating around.
And like, it's but like a given. Just think, like, you used to see like Rambo like gun a dude down, and the dude would just like blow apart with these bullets. It's like this horrific shit is like.
Yeah, there was an escalation, and I'm the only person in this room that was a teenager in the 80s, and it was frustrating because I wasn't. My parents would not let me see rated R movies usually.
Yeah.
So I had to wait a long time to see movies I really, really wanted to see, like Aliens or RoboCop. Yeah. I had to wait till the video came around. You know, Terminator. We had this one kid in my class whose parents would let him rent rated R movies. So what he would do is he would rent something, tell everyone in the class what it was, and we would all go to his house.
That's awesome.
And that's how I saw most of these movies. And honestly, when I was a kid, when I was like 12 or 13, I thought, man, they could have just toned this down. This movie would have been a great movie of PG-13. Like, RoboCop, do you need to run over the guy who's dripping with, like, radioactive ooze?
Yes. Are you kidding
me? Do you want to? Yes. Do you need to?
Yeah, I think, and that's the argument. We all can see crazy stuff, and there's a lot of people that like that.
But the point of the movie
is if you're making such a good movie, does it have to have that where you cut off all these kids that are then super pissed and they have to wait so long to see it? When it's just like, if you had taken off that one scene that had nothing to do with the plot, fucking,
they
you know,
play those on TV. When's the last time you've seen RoboCop on TV and then you go back and you watch it on DVD again and be like, oh, I forgot about all this stuff because I've seen it on TV so many times.
Yeah,
that movie's graphic.
So good.
It was that era where
they just blow them apart, just shooting arms off with shotguns.
I remember being in high school and my dad and I actually got it from a hotel. On demand, we were out somewhere for a wedding. We didn't have anything to do, and he was like, "Oh, RoboCop's on the hotel TV."
Yeah,
and we watched it. And I remember the scene where RoboCop shows up and the guy's robbing the convenience store, and he starts shooting at him, and all he keeps saying is "Fuck me, fuck me." And I was like, "I've never heard anybody say fuck me before."
Yeah,
like I've heard "fuck you." This movie's different,
right? Edgy.
But I don't know. I don't know if any of that was necessary. I still don't know if any of that was necessary.
It's not, because it, you know how it's not necessary, because it doesn't advance the fucking plot. It's just like
I don't know, and I don't know if it really made it better.
It real. Right. Count the number of F bombs you've dropped in the 15 minutes.
Wait. Did you just say it made RoboCop real?
More real. Hey, man.
It grounds it for two.
The original RoboCop to me was much more realistic than this new remake.
Where they went out of their
way. Yeah. The remake is terrible.
Don't.
It's worth seeing. I think it's worth.
I don't think it's worth seeing.
Really?
No. Last time you saw Michael Keaton be like out Michael of control, Keaton? Crazy.
No,
crazy. He's not out of control. He's very, very calm.
You know what's great?
No, I can't talk about this movie without giving out spoilers.
Best thing about watching RoboCop it is
spoiling
is you got to see what's it called? Batman and Commissioner Gordon talking together.
Yeah, it's got a great cast. I talked about this when it was out. We went to see Gravity, and then when we were walking out, it was starting in the theater next door, and we're like, oh, let's see RoboCop. And
you can't. That's not fair to RoboCop. Follow up with like Gravity. It's like, oh, a movie all about really good acting, and then a movie all about robots.
Gravity wasn't that great when you think about it. but it was a really late show because we went to like an 8 o'clock show, so we're in like a 10:30 show of RoboCop, and I started falling asleep. And Renee hits me, and she goes, well, let's go home. I said, no, I want to see the end. She's like, but you fell asleep. I'm like, if I want to see the end. She's like, why do you want to see the end? I was like, so I never have to rent it.
Right. Because I always want to know.
I just want to know how it ends, and then I never have to see it again.
You know, you can't have that like dangling over your head.
What was Wanted rated?
It wasn't, but the new RoboCop was PG-13.
Was it? Okay, and that's why it wasn't as good.
Wanted was rated R.
All made that was all to make my point. It wasn't as good.
Yeah, but Wanted was a completely different movie than
but
the
that's
book.
What I'm saying.
It's
but it's
fair.
Like, oh, I know, but that movie was. It's like, look why that was rated R. That wasn't overly too graphic.
No, it wasn't.
It was not
language.
Like you ever got to see
I don't remember
Angelina Jolie yeah, naked.
No,
you know, but it's like, what if Deadpool's like that, where it's rated R, but just
nothing too not, rated.
Yeah, yeah, no, and listen, I think Deadpool would be like that. It just sucks because.
You
that's what you're giving
people.
It a rated R for? Is
for
just
language,
like language?
Yeah.
It's just like...
I mean, are we...
You can't kill people with abandon in PG-13. You can't go crazy killing, like, hand, you know, mad ninjas or insane clowns or
like
whatever
it,
the heck
gonna
Deadpool's going to fight.
See, I think eventually we're going to get that scene where if Fox is very smart... They mimic the Kill Bill scene where she fights all the ninjas,
oh, yeah.
And it's just Deadpool.
Crazy at Eight.
Just doing awesome. Killing like the Crazy Eight, because if it makes that scene more ridiculous, I will go, that and it gives it the rated R. I'm like, all right, I understand why you got the rated R, because that was brilliant.
Has yeah, but Jay, to you directing it?
What's his face?
I don't remember.
I have no idea. I don't think it's like a big name.
But wait, Jay, did you guys see, oh shoot, what's that British... Secret Spy
oh,
movie came
Secret
out.
Service.
Kingsman? The Kingsman. Did you see this Kingsman?
No, I didn't even know it was out yet. I saw the trailer
yeah,
a bunch of times.
Out like,
it came out like...
came and gone.
Yeah. So the Kingsman is rated R, but it's rated R because it's awesome. Like, there's a lot... Like, there's a scene
is
where...
For violence?
We talk about
yeah.
This? Yeah.
I can't... without spoiling it, it's the church scene. If you've seen it, once you see the church scene, you're like, that was insane. If they do... If Deadpool makes a scene like that and also makes a scene like the Crazy 8-8 Kill Bill, like... It's a well-deserved, beautiful rated R movie.
Well, going back to one of your earlier points, Dave, I think you made a really great point about language. Do you guys think we should be past the point where you get a rated R for language? I've been watching The Wire on Amazon Prime, and there's F-bombs dropped pretty much every other sentence.
Yeah.
And that was, granted, it was pay cable, but it was on television. And
yeah.
And again, as a parent, I'm watching The Wire in one room. Ben's in another room. If Ben comes in, as long as there's not boobs or people getting shot, which happens a lot in The Wire, if he comes in and people are dropping F-bombs, I know he knows that word,
yeah,
and I know he can't say that word,
and he knows
he can't say that word. I don't call attention to it. I let it go past. I let him see both Anchormans because he loves comedy.
Yeah, and you're right. There's
those are all just for language.
Yeah.
I mean, the humor in that is pretty much 10 years old.
Yeah, it's toilet humor again.
Yeah, and he loved them. You know, the Blues Brothers. I never understood what the Blues Brothers are.
Yeah, I think we are past
because there are Nazis in it.
Yeah, Illinois Nazis.
There were Nazis and Raiders, and that was PG.
But I think that's actually a really good point, is that it's, you know, this stuff's on television now, and it's just like, if you know, I think the idea that there's bad words, obviously your kid shouldn't be running around saying this stuff, but, you know, as adults, it's like, you know, fucking, they're just words. Who cares? But
well, fuck, Steven. Let
number
me be,
12.
To be honest, it's like, it's just sad because, you know, there's some parents that can't, you know, be okay with this. It's just like, well, if, once you, right. It's sort of like you said for Ben, he can't say it. It's
he
a bad
that.
Word. Yeah. Once a kid knows that, you don't need to be fucking.
There's no such thing
around.
As a. In my opinion, there's no such thing as a bad word. There's inappropriate words for certain situations.
Exactly.
You know
bad
what?
Words.
I can't say. You know what? I can't say fuck to my boss. I can't say fucking church.
Yeah.
You know, I shouldn't say it on LaGrange Road.
Right.
But but in this room, you and I say it 45 times.
And you know what? And we put an explicit label.
We do
so
for
we
that reason.
You know,
this is rated R for language. This podcast.
Exactly. There's another.
There's point. Never been any violence or nudity on this podcast,
right.
As far as you know.
You guys are aware.
Yeah. Well, let's break that habit.
We're coming out now.
Um, All right, but here's a point. Stuart's watched every Marvel movie with me.
Yeah.
Except for Guardians of the Galaxy.
And Stuart's younger than Ben.
And Stuart's just about to turn 5.
Okay.
Why not Guardians of the Galaxy?
Because Rocket says damn and shit in that movie. A lot.
Oh, really? So yeah. that's your language barrier.
To where it's just like, how do you tell a kid?
Especially the young talking.
And he's still in a copying mode.
And also, like, I took Danny to go see it. And the one thing I hated him hearing was, whore, and it was just like, why?
Yeah, does I have Drax? A problem with that too. Because
it's like, why did Drax have to say that? Like, what was the joke in that?
And you know what? The problem is, it follows a great joke for kids. Was this big dumb tree? He is my friend, and every kid laughs at that, and that means every kid is listening twice as hard.
Yeah.
When he says this green whore, she is my friend, and I thought that joke was funny. But every time we watch it, and I tweeted this week, watching with your kids is different. And Ben's seen Guardians of the Galaxy more than me at this point. Like, he was quoting it while I was watching it with him last time. And, like, lines I didn't remember. And it's like, whenever I get to that, I'm like, one day he's going to ask me what a whore is.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have a really hard time.
That's why, like,
usually I deflect it and I go, like, anytime there's, like, somebody, like, anytime somebody's horny in a movie and gets crazy.
Yeah.
And if it's in a comedy, like, I let Ben watch Key and Peele. I probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
But it's so well written and it's so funny. I want him to see really good comedy. But they do inappropriate stuff sexually. And there's many times where he goes, what's wrong with that guy? He's crazy.
Yeah. And it's like, how long do you get away with that?
Before he's specific about it. Yeah. Yeah. And that's...
Because once he starts seeing the stuff in The Wire, it's going to be like... Yeah. Well,
luckily when he sees stuff in The Wire, he's very focused on why he wants me to pause The Wire and do something for him.
Because like Stuart thinks all this stuff is real. He's convinced that Steven is Steven Universe from the cartoon. That's the cartoon of Steven Universe is like the childhood adventures of Steven Brown.
It's a documentary.
And you know what? I think we all could do him a favor, we should encourage that and never tell him that that's not the case for the rest of his life.
Yeah, huge shout out to the cartoon Steven Universe, by the way. My favorite new cartoon, hands down.
Yeah, Ben's the opposite. Ben's always had a clear line between fantasy and reality. Done. Like we were watching the Tolkien edit of The Hobbit, and when Thorin dies, Ben goes, he doesn't look like he's dead. And Renee's going, well, you know, some people die with their eyes open, and just because their eyes aren't closed doesn't mean they're dead. And she's going on and on. I go, plus he's acting. And Ben's like, yeah, he's not really a dwarf. I'm like, he's not even that short.
Nope.
And he's fine with it. He moves on. It doesn't ruin the
experience
for him, but that's him.
Yeah. You know,
if Sebastian is like little Stu, I don't want to pop that bubble.
Yeah. Yeah, because like we got tickets to see the there's a Marvel stage show thing coming on at the...
Oh, yeah, so that's for that.
These like those like Disney on Ice things where they're doing Marvel stuff.
Oh,
now.
My God. It looks so amazing.
Yeah.
That me and a bunch of my buddies, it's like me and three friends, all have tickets. Their kids are all like 1 year or younger. They're just going because they want to see it.
Yeah.
Where I'm the only one that has a kid that's like 5 year old and going to remember this.
Who's like ready for it.
we're going all in costume. Whoa.
Yeah. But like, but they'll be like, who would host an event like that?
What do you mean?
Stan Lee.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, look at all the superheroes I got.
Yeah, oh, my Stan Lee. You have like a Stan Lee character.
My Stan Lee is better now.
Yeah.
Harasp.
Hi, everybody.
Say face front true believers.
Face front true believers. It's the Mighty Thor, and he's on ice skates for some reason.
Yeah, it's like they never really do ever explain, like, hey, here's all your favorite Marvel characters. And they're all skating around. It's like, that makes sense for 80s Iron Man and nobody else.
When I was a kid, they had Sesame Street on ice. And you can actually see it in Christmas Eve on Sesame Street, which is on DVD. They have sections of Sesame Street on ice. And even as a little kid, it freaked me out. Because first of all, why are all the Muppets on ice? Second of all, why are they all 8 feet tall? Because like Susan and Bob are skating around. They're like, hi, Ernie, and gargantuan celestial Ernie comes out, and his head won't stay on his neck. And I remember like being 5 and going like, I don't want to see that.
Right? I can't handle a 9-foot, you know, Ernie.
I saw the trailer for the new what? The Exorcist, not Exorcist.
Mad Max.
No, what's that ghost movie? Poltergeist.
And oh, yeah, they're remaking Poltergeist.
They're remaking Poltergeist, and they do that scene where it's like, everyone clear your heads, because they know you're, like, they already know your nightmares. And, like, that would be my nightmare. It's like, just, like, Elmo, like a giant Elmo ice skating around me. I would be like, no, stop.
That's your Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. That is that.
Oh, there you go. So speaking of that, that is a show a lot of kids would enjoy, and I think those same kids are going to want to go see Deadpool.
But like,
will Deadpool be in the Marvel show?
Yeah. That's what I didn't see. That's what I was reading, because I did not see him in that all ages action show.
Right, and then me and Dave were talking earlier too. We talked about Ryan Reynolds bombing, or maybe not bombing, but they're going to, or maybe Stu made this point. They're going to pay this guy a fortune to be covered in head to toe costume. Yeah. For 90% of the movie.
I thought it was going to be CG again. Like, they, I know they released a photo where he's like posing on that that bear skin.
CG for all you, but that looked, and stuff.
Yeah, but the April Fool's video where he comes out and slaps Mario Lopez, they came out later and said that was Ryan Reynolds wearing that suit. That wasn't a stuntman. Really? And that's the suit.
Here's my question is, like, you look at...
Wait, that's the suit.
Yeah.
Officially?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm listening.
That was him lying on the bearskin rug. Is him, he's in that suit.
Because that looked like CG. But if that's him, all right, let's do this. But who's Deadpool, Stu, for those for those listening?
No, my point is, like, you're paying Ryan Reynolds to be Deadpool, but you're going to have him wear a mask 99% of the time, because Deadpool is a freaking cheeseburger face.
And the best thing about
Because when he takes off, he's like Spawn. When he takes off his mask, he's also going to be wearing a mask, because his face is so mutated.
Yeah. There's photos already released from set, and he already has all that makeup on him.
So there's got to be flashbacks.
Yeah.
All right, but here's my question is, how do you, like, for Iron Man, they had, like, the view of him inside the helmet. How do you make a static mask show emotion when he's, or, like, how do you get away with Deadpool, where if you look at any Deadpool comic, he's got the most expressionful masks in Spider-Man?
That is exactly how they're going to do it. They're
look at the Spider-Man movies. There'll be a lot of body language. I think he's gonna be miming a lot more than, like, Tobey Maguire was or Andrew Garfield was, because Spider-Man was always... Spider-Man and the Spider-Man movies is not all that funny. Garfield pushed it more than Tobey Maguire did.
Yeah.
But I think you really have to treat it like a mime.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to have to be using his arms constantly a lot.
He's going to be doing, like, what he does in the animation, like jumping up and down.
Yeah, but excited. Even in the animation, look, you go back and look at that, they cheat. Like, where they make the eyes stretch and the mask face change, a little bit, and they scrunch it, where it's like, oh, now the mask looks angry, the mask looks surprised. Like you can't.
Like John was saying, it's like that's constantly how it is in the Spider-Man look at
the test
comics.
Footage. The test footage was all CG, and it worked. And a lot of that was body language. Just the beginning when he's listening to the radio and bopping.
But even that face, the face moved so much in that you could tell it was CG, not real. I'm wondering if they're going to use some of that.
There might be CG enhancements.
I'd be okay with that.
Maybe those dot things they do.
I imagine there's probably a lot of motion capture in this.
Yeah.
But you know what? He, looking at Ryan Reynolds, he already played Deadpool in a movie where he didn't have a mask.
Yeah.
He does not want to do that Deadpool.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, because they're going to want to get so far away from that and give the fans
what they want. Even in the April Fool's video, they said, oh, so this will be the sequel to Wolverine Origins? He's like, no, I'm playing the same character, but no.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing, too. Speaking on rated R movies, you guys ever see the remake of Dread?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Oh, like, look at that, and that's a rated R.
Carl Urban, and that's worth another, being that's rated R. Great. I'm not showing that to Ben.
And he has that helmet on the entire film.
And Carl Urban said, "I will play this role, but that helmet is on me the whole entire time." So that's what made it great.
Dredd's an emotionless character. Deadpool is a very outgoing, animated,
Yeah, but that's much.
I love the fact that his mask has white eyes.
Yeah.
I have never seen a live action superhero with white eyes. Batman's mask always looks like Captain America.
Yeah, because
Spider-Man has sunglasses basically on his face.
Yeah, but it's like the white eye just never make any sense, because, like, how would you even do that? You know, it's like, where does the mask, you know, stop?
Yeah.
If you ever look at, like,
Wolverine's never had a mask in 7 movies,
right?
Yeah.
Which, when you look at it that way, is nuts.
Oh, yeah. They showed a mask in a briefcase as, like, a deleted scene or something.
Yeah, and a deleted scene in The Wolverine. And then he didn't wear it in Days of Future Past.
And the thing is, it's just like, in the comic books, he always has the mask on. Yeah, because
that's the iconic shot.
And Wolverine's one of those where he's kind of 50-50. He's as iconic in as he is out.
Yeah.
But you think after 7 goddamn movies...
They would have given it a world
one scene.
But then they didn't want to cover Hugh Jackman's face.
Yeah, but he was nobody scene? In X-Men 1.
Yeah, I know.
He wasn't nothing.
Well, X-Men 1, nobody really wore a costume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except for Cyclops.
No, he had his eyes already wore the same thing everybody else wore.
Yeah, they all had those like utilitarian suits, and then they changed it with the Grant Morrison, where they all wore those yellow and black. Yeah.
Because they they wanted them to look like the movie. And then they realized that didn't sell toys.
Yeah.
And then when Joss Whedon came on, and that's one of the things I think I may have mentioned it before. That's how I can tell a good writer, because I love Grant Morrison and Joss Whedon. In the first issue of Grant Morrison's X-Men, Cyclops comes out. It's like, we're not wearing costumes. We're not going to be clowns for you. We're not superheroes. We are a race of people, and we're going to dress like people. And I went, that's right.
Yeah.
And then Joss Whedon comes on. It's like, we have to inspire people again. We have to be seen like the Avengers of the Fantastic Four. We're going to wear bright costumes again. And I went, that's right.
Yeah. It's a great point, because it's like you said, and both of those books worked in a way where a lot of other X-Men titles kind of like get bogged down in like crossover or something. Both of those are self-contained. They both had directions. And it's like they came in, did their story, and then got out. And it was like back to back, too. Yeah. It's like you never get that.
Yeah.
100% Deadpool free storylines, too.
Another reason you like it. I just finished the Joe Kelly Deadpool omnibus.
That's my favorite run.
It's such great stuff. I'm hearing really good things about Cable and Deadpool.
That's really good.
Is it? There's an omnibus really of that, and you know how I like my Cable.
Here's the question then for the people who've read Deadpool. What storyline do they do for the movie to just make something completely
That's
up?
What I was going to ask.
X-Force.
No,
you're Wolverine, Archangel, Phantom.
No, you still, like, you mimic it in that, like, reality of Uncanny X-Force. Like, well, did you ever read Deadpool in Uncanny X-Force?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think that's the best version of Deadpool. If you do that Deadpool, put that costume,
comedic relief to the team, though. That wasn't a... You can't do that for a movie.
But you'll get...
They're supposed to be making an X-Force movie, but they haven't said what it is. It might be that. It might be the sequel to Deadpool.
That's what I think.
Or it could be the original X-Force.
Could be the 90s. Cable.
Yeah.
It depends if they want to do like a Deadpool origin. And
that's
like
what I'm saying. They're going to want to do an origin because it's the first movie, right? They didn't make Spider-Man and just have him team up with the Avengers.
Because
you'll get a standalone Deadpool.
They will now.
Origin.
All right.
Right. Yeah, but that's 10 years later.
John just read it. All right. Because the Joe Kelly one, that one has the origin where it's like him in the Deadpool, the Weapon X washout program. Did you read that? Where he falls in love with Mistress Death.
Yep.
Yes, like that. And
we know there's some weird other characters in it, like Copycat's in it.
Copycat's part of his, because it's either going to be
T.J. Miller from Silicon Valley is in it as Weasel. So it seems like it's going to be very based on that Joe Kelly run.
Right. Nice. So is there a cohesive like story in there that doesn't get too goofy?
No.
Not really. There's just like a lot of little stories. There's no Dark Phoenix saga for Deadpool. Yeah. There's no Death of Gwen Stacy where it's like, I can't wait until they do that story.
Yeah.
He didn't have an origin until the Joe Kelly run because he was a character in X-Force. Mm. And they gave him a 4-issue miniseries. And they gave him another 4-issue miniseries. Then he got an ongoing title that landed, and that was Joe Kelly.
And the first few, Mark Waid did one of the series, and Fabian Nicieza did one of the series.
Yeah, I don't think Mark Waid did any.
I think Mark Waid did one of the limited series.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember Ian Churchill did the art on one.
Did the art on one, and Matt Arreira did the art on the other one, and then they gave him X-Men from that. Mark Waid might have written the one with Matt Arreira. It was at that time when Waid was writing X-Men
Fabian wrote both of them. I would be willing to bet a dollar.
Oh, this is one of those where we should have had that laptop that Thomas Glenn generously gave us.
Yeah.
To look things up.
But it's like...
We still have the laptop, though. We didn't get rid of it.
No, we just didn't bring it in the room.
No, the store's using it for Magic the Gathering. It's been a huge help every week.
But no, I mean, like, there's really not a definitive, because he interwove Deadpool's origin, because it was, they'd never really done one. They also hinted at it, and it was so convoluted that he finally went and told one, and it was awesome. It was like this, like, 6-issue big lead up that tied it in, ended with a Deadpool death crossover.
Yeah.
Where I don't,
all I would say is, like, what do you think is going to be the main threat in the Deadpool movie?
And then does this tie into the X-Men movie?
I think it's going to be more of like a movie.
They could open it up a little bit bigger and like probably, because you know everyone's going to want that X-Force movie. And this is the other thing I wanted to bring up. Hugh Jackman is saying he's going to do Wolverine one last time.
Yeah, you figure it'll be Old Man
like,
Logan.
So what is that for? Like, is that Old Man Logan? Or are we getting, or is this for the Archangel? And like, or is this for the Apocalypse movie coming up?
No, I think it'll be a standalone Wolverine movie, much like, you know, you figure between, was it between First Class and Days of Future Past that we got that decent Wolverine movie?
Oh,
The Wolverine.
See, the thing is, I have no idea because Days of Future Past. Days of Future Past. When Wolverine goes back in time and just changes everything.
Well, forget the continuity. I'm just talking about them making movies. Well, Days of Future Past and First Class. In between that, is that when we got that decent Wolverine movie?
Yes.
All right. So that's what I'm saying. Where it was a movie that was supposed to take place chronologically the between one. The reboot of the X-Men universe, that soft reboot, like disregarding like that Phoenix movie. And I think that's the same thing because that was a standalone Wolverine movie. The next Wolverine movie with Hugh Jackman will be the standalone Old Man Logan story.
Although they're saying that Patrick Stewart might be in it.
In Old Man Logan?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that'll be completely in Wolverine rewritten. 3.
Well, and as we said, all the Marvel movies are, none of them are adaptations. Between the X-Men movies to Marvel Studios, look at the two Avengers movies. The most adaptation you get is Avengers 1 has Loki, who's in the first issue, and the Skrulls, who are in an earlier issue.
Yeah.
Or, then it's Chitauri. This one is Ultron, and it's just going to have Ultron.
Yeah.
And it's a made-up story.
Cap's Kooky Quartet might be what's left of the Avengers. That are,
right. Or they might just have a scene where they
We have all four of them now.
Yeah.
But they're not going to do those Stan Lee stories.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't think Deadpool is going to do a Deadpool story.
It'll just borrow those characters.
It'll borrow those characters.
The other thing about the other thing about Deadpool, one of the things I liked about him was the Joe Kelly run really pushed him out of the X-Men into
his own.
Into all of the Marvel universe.
Yeah, they did.
Where there was Hydra and there was MODOK and there was...
Yes, but they won't be able to really do that in this.
No, they won't, because somebody was asking about Bob the Hydra.
Yeah, Bob.
He's a really popular character, and somebody was asking me, hey, do you think Bob the Hydra will be in? And I was like, Marvel Studios has been saying Hydra for 2 years.
Yeah.
There's no way they're going to give Fox a Hydra character.
Absolutely not.
They might give him some generic goon named Bob.
Yeah, they'll make up a fake organization.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be kind of a street crime mafia type story where I think the villains are going to be more down to earth. They're going to be gangsters.
So you think it'd be more like the Punisher?
Yeah, but he's going to be the goofy thing on top of it. I don't think we're going to go too deep sci-fi. I think he's going to be the weird thing in his universe.
Yeah. I mean, because especially, you know, he's going to be breaking the fourth wall.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be, you know, and it's not like Deadpool doesn't even have like an arch villain. The closest thing you got to an arch villain is T-Ray, who comes from a contradictory origin story that the next writer after Joe Kelly wrote that completely negated his origin.
And he wasn't much of a character. And then there was Taskmaster, but I think he's considered a Marvel Studios character. Yeah.
Bullseye is
Bullseye's back in Marvel Studios with Daredevil.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's just like...
Because he travels the Marvel Universe. Yeah. He's basically... He's a wild card no matter where he is. So it's lots of fun to put him in a Fantastic Four story.
Right. Because
he will mess everything up for them.
Yeah.
So they don't really do much with building his universe. Typhoid Mary was a character.
Yeah.
Joe Kelly.
Yeah.
And that's a Daredevil character.
Yeah.
Yeah. They actually crossed that over with like... had a Daredevil.
With Daredevil, yeah.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah.
He steals Daredevil's seeing eye dog and takes it home and gives it to his to Weasel and Blind Al.
That was a good run.
Names him Dead Dog.
Yeah, and they've gone to all these crazy places. They're doing, during Secret Wars, they're doing Deadpool's Secret Wars.
Yeah.
Where
they're just...
What he was doing in the original Secret Wars.
Well, they're going to say he was there.
Yeah.
And just...
They're going to Forrest Gump it.
Which they did in the original run with an old Romita Spider-Man issue.
Yeah, which was hilarious.
He goes back in time. He goes back in time to a Spider-Man issue.
Yeah.
And they just draw him in the Romita senior art, like making fun of Harry Osborn's hair and Kraven.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a series during Secret Wars of him in the 84 issues.
Which is...
Of like just, he's always off panel.
Right.
Yeah.
Like with Spider-Man, when Spider-Man fights all the X-Men, he's just going to be leaning back going, ooh.
Ah, get him.
I kind of want to read that.
Yeah, it's like, I'm curious enough about stuff like that to like check it out, but it's like, overall, I think it's something where it's just like, it's a character that's like, it's the comic book version of like a famous guy who really shouldn't be famous.
Now, what bothers you about
he's the Paris Deadpool. Hilton of comics? Is that what you're saying? That's basically what I'm saying.
Where here's a character where it's just like, everything was, you know, it's just like, you're just kind of like accidentally famous, right? Because it's like, we're looking at the real origin, right? This is a character that's ripped off Deathstroke.
Yes.
Right? By an artist that, by industry standards, is considered this like huge,
I feel like there's a strong dislike in Deadpool.
And he's also said that he made a bet with Todd McFarlane.
Oh, that he'd have Deadpool before Spawn?
Gets no, ready? No, that he was just Spider-Man with pouches, and he did it as, to tease McFarlane because of the poses he would put Spider-Man into. He was like, anybody could sell if they put Spider-Man in those poses, so he created a Spider-Man character.
Right, so it's like he's ripped off of two separate characters by a guy that's considered not loved by the major players in the industry. And I'm talking like fly-by-night fans of like, I read comics in the 90s and never changed my opinion about them. Like, it's just like, how is this guy such to the point now where it's like, get a movie?
Because of what Stu and I have been saying, the runs that have been done to him later.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Basically, like, this other guy, Joe Kelly, comes in and actually has more to do with that character than McFarlane. And McFarlane, or Liefeld. And Liefeld's the one that's going to get like the $1 million paycheck out of it. Yeah. For just fucking dare with another hand job.
Gail Simone also wrote on Deadpool for a while. Yeah, she had a strong run.
She was
run.
Like the third run, I think.
And I remember that's when like that's the main core Deadpool fans I started seeing come out of the woodwork. Was when Gail was writing it. Because I would just see more people at the comic book store picking it up. That's how I caught on to Gail Simone.
Yeah, he's had good writers. Daniel Way did a long run. Yeah. Jason Aaron's done a run. Yeah. Like guys that are respected and well-known to this day.
Yeah, he's like a stepping stone, pretty much.
Because like Cable and Brian Posehn,
mid-range watershed character.
Brian Posehn has been writing it since Marvel now. I mean, Posehn has not done a lot of comics.
Yeah, and the numbers for Deadpool, like the subscriber numbers, are like better than Superman.
Yeah.
So it's just like,
well, almost everything's better than Superman.
But Superman's a good like mid-range book that should be an A-list book, right? That should be a book where it's just like, it's fucking Superman, guys. Like, get it, figure it out. You know, it's like if Batman could sell, 70 issues, a month at the store, it's just like Superman should at least be able to do 50.
I mean, it's like everybody loves Deadpool. I mean, it's like you look at that Deadpool Hero Click set. How many people come in and ask for, you got any Deadpool books? You got any Deadpool trades? Well,
he's always like the hardest to find action figure. It's just
look at how many mini-mates they made him.
Yeah.
The box set of the Deadpool core.
Yeah.
He's been on a bunch of teams.
Yeah. He's gotten around now.
They're killing him off because he's another character that Fox has.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, what's the deal with that? Are they going to keep him dead, or are they doing it like stuntish in the book?
I think they're doing it like Secret Wars. We'll reboot everybody. But, they canceled Fantastic Four, killed Wolverine, now they're killing Deadpool. It's very, very hard to not think they're trying to stick it to Fox.
And it's so stupid, because that's like the definition of cutting off your nose to spite your face. It's like textbook right down the middle.
I got a little bit of an inside source on Deadpool, the comics right now, where I've heard that he's going to die, but he's not staying dead. Like, there's actually a plan going on for Deadpool.
Right. Yeah.
And I imagine with Secret Wars that they can do whatever they want.
It's like comics.
They're going to reboot the whole universe.
Yeah. Yeah. And Deadpool more so is like, I think the more aware you are that you're a comic book character, the more you're just like, I can't really die.
I mean, some of the stuff, because like you would actually enjoy some of the Joe Kelly run because it makes fun of some, it makes jokes.
There's Ed McGuinness art.
Ed McGuinness started. It's where Ed McGuinness got his start. Yeah,
it's one of his. First books.
They make some jokes that, as a longtime comic reader, you'd be like, "Oh, it's basically you coin the phrase
it's next wave because before comics, next wave."
Yeah,
it's that. Like they can get away with so much stuff where they make observations that you would find funny as a longtime comics reader. Where there's one panel where it's Wolverine and Deadpool goes to fight Wolverine because he knows if he goes and fights Wolverine, they'll have a big long talk while they're fighting, because that always happens. And it was from the recommendation of his psychiatrist, Dr. Bong, the Howard the Duck villain.
Dr. Bong.
Yeah. But that's it's like, major character I hate Howard the Duck too. He's in that same category. Like, here's a bunch of dudes to like lock in a room and throw a grenade at.
My first experience with Deadpool was Deadpool 1 half issue in Wizard. Where, like, Deadpool went off to go fight the thousands and thousands of clones.
Dead people.
That's in the omnibus thing.
Yeah. I believe that one ends where he makes Arnim Zola makes Deadpool to not kill him, gives him 3 Gwen Stacy clones.
Ugh.
And what stops Deadpool's killing rage is he's going through, and it's just like, oh my god, it's Christmas. I get to go around and just kill all these lame C-list villains. And he goes behind a sheet and he's like, no, don't go back there. That's some weird cell samples I found from the Green Goblin's lair. And it's a naked Aunt May and Uncle Ben. And Deadpool's like, all right, I'm done. I'm done. I'm going to kill you now.
I think I actually have some of these issues. I've got the Bullseye Deadpool.
Those are good. With the sheep gun. I know I have that omnibus.
It's just, I don't know.
Is it just your 90s racism against Deadpool?
It's probably my equivalent to my 90s racism.
Would you go see the Deadpool movie?
Yeah, because we'll do a fucking show about it and I can take a big shit on it publicly.
Well, Fox, now you know who you have to sell tickets to. On that behalf.
Yeah, you're going to sell a lot of rated R tickets to angry podcasters. Yeah. Why do you need 13-year-olds when you can have angry adult podcasters going to your movie?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be like an over-the-top, you know, ridiculous. We'll take a little bit out of like his first couple miniseries for like the copycat being his like his girlfriend. They'll mm-hmm. do the, you know, he was like, because he's a cancer patient that was a mercenary, went into the government's Weapon X program trying to make him into a super soldier.
Yeah.
They're trying to give him Wolverine's healing factor. He washes out, goes to the washout program, which is called the Deadpool, because all the inmates there bet on like who's going to die first and get to finally die. It's called the Deadpool.
And this is much after
this is
what
in,
you call it, run.
No, that's in that run.
No, I know it's in this run, but this is not Liefeld.
No, this is way after Liefeld.
Liefeld didn't really draw him very much. Liefeld, maybe three appearances.
That's what I'm saying.
Three appearances in X-Force, that's it.
Yeah, his first miniseries is Ian Churchill.
Yeah.
So Liefeld was...
Liefeld barely had anything to do with him other than the mask.
But will forever be associated with this.
He drew G.W. Bridge more than he drew Deadpool.
Yeah.
I think I had a G.W. Bridge action
figure.
Yeah, I don't know why they made a G.W.
Right?
Bridge action.
I didn't need that.
Toy Biz tricked me all through the 90s going, well, this guy's had an action figure. He's got to be in some major story.
Like Caliban.
Extreme.
Whiplash.
Yeah. They had a character named Comcast.
Yeah. Yeah. He was,
who,
in
as
Deadpool.
We know, is the most evil character.
Yeah, he was in Deadpool. The Weasel kills him in the first miniseries.
In the Matter
Second era. Miniseries, yeah.
Which I have confirmed is Mark Waid.
Yes, he got his dollar. Just so everyone's paying attention.
I didn't even bet him a dollar. He just gave me a dollar.
Man of his word.
That's the first time I've ever been paid for doing the show.
Other than in swag. Or...
Yeah. Yeah. No, so what would change your mind?
Like, what do you mean? To read Deadpool monthly or to go see the movie? I mean,
or just
what
to, would make just to become a fan of Deadpool and go...
You couldn't.
What would the movie have to be to make you enjoy the movie?
I think if it's more smartly written, like Dave was saying, like if it has the ironic horror of, like, Kill Bill, these kinds of things, you know, that I could say... All right, that I'd like a little bit more, I think. But I don't want to take it seriously, and I don't want it to say itself to take it too seriously. So I could go see it and say, oh, that was a decent movie. But ultimately, all that I'll end up doing is me being like, well, I don't need to read any of the Deadpool comics. I get it. I get why everyone's so interested in the character. I saw the movie. I don't need or care enough to read that kind of character monthly or weekly or however many times Deadpool comes out. It's the same reason why, like, I don't go and see a lot of horror movies. It's like, all right, I get it. People like to see gore because it's messed up. I don't really like gore, so I'm not going to see this. But I get horror movies, and I'll watch horror movies. It's just like, if it's too gore, it's like, I don't care too much for it. It's just like another thing in the world, like cotton candy. You know, it's like, you know, oh, they make Deadpool comics.
What right. would it
make
take?
Deadpool comics and cotton candy.
What's that?
That's your universe view. Deadpool comics and cotton
candy. I'm just
candy.
Saying, it's like another
the
thing
stars.
Out there. It's just an example.
When you die, that's okay. what you'll see. Instead of your life flashing before your eyes, it's Deadpool eating cotton candy.
Yes. That's...
So what's going to happen when Marvel tries to get the rights back to this to Deadpool for the films, and say 5 years down the line when Deadpool becomes an Avenger, what do you do then?
No, I don't think that'll happen.
Oh, yeah, never. Never, right? You're gonna...
Why would Fox ever release the rights to the X-Men?
Because Disney
released the rights to Daredevil.
Yeah, but that was part of a deal.
Exactly.
Right. It's
the
all
mouse
part of
is going to
right,
send
so
over
so they,
to somebody.
They get
with
him a deal. He comes over, and then what? They put him on a team that he's never been a member of. And I'm not saying for sure Deadpool's going to be a member of the Avengers in my lifetime. Because fucking why the hell not? It's just like I've not read Avengers before. It'll be the same thing. Where it's just like, well, there's another book I just don't have to care about. It's like you're just saving my wallet money.
The greatest thing in the world.
This week. All right, so this week, that original graphic novel, Rage of Ultron, came out. And it was... it's my greatest thing this week for a few reasons, but not because it was good.
You know what? I will kneel before that book.
Have you read this? Everyone's read this. Who's going to spoil it? All right, who cares about this? Basically, the reasons I like it are Star Fox comes back. So they made him an Avenger again for, like, this series or whatever. And then it was a flashback art to, like, classic Avenger stuff, which you don't ever get to see with, like, modern art, modern colors and all that stuff for what I enjoy.
Oh, Captain America looks
shit
awesome.
On everything. But So, and then, but it was kind of a disappointment because we had been talking about this for months. We were like, Rick Remender was on it. I liked his Uncanny Avengers run. This was before Axis came out. And then Jerome Opeña was doing the art, which hadn't been on, he did parts of Infinity, and he did the relaunch when Hickman took over Avengers. Yeah. And so I was we were looking forward to this, like the hype for this book was huge. And it was like half good because it seemed like Rick Remender had a stroke at some point in the last year and a half where it's like all his writing is shit. When he did Uncanny X-Force, which is great. He did Uncanny Avengers, I really liked.
And then not like Avengers. Captain America.
Captain America fell flat.
And that was the Axis first time John Romita Jr. drew it. I was so excited.
I was so ready for that book. And then Axis, we was like...
That was such a disappointment for me.
And it finally was supposed to be the Marvel heroes versus a group of villains again. And it was like, nope, half the Marvel heroes are now crazy. They're going to fight each other again. It's like, well, you've had that story for the last 10 years of heroes fighting heroes. It's like, they're just... coming up with like new ways to reinvent Civil War, it feels like, because it was so successful. But I think so half it was good, and then like Jerome Opeña drew the first half of the book, the flashback scenes, and then you know much of the rest of it, but then he seemed like he was kind of phoning it in where he didn't even finish it. Somebody else was jumping in doing other issues. So I think this is something Marvel was rushing out for the Age of Ultron movie. So it's like, I think it scratched the itch of like, oh, what would it be like to see like classic Avengers stuff in modern day, you know, artists drawing that stuff, which you never get to see. And I think that was something where it's like it satisfied that, but then it's like the last couple things Remender did just kind of like bottomed out and ended up being kind of disappointing.
And you're recommending it?
This is why I could see why he recommended it. I hate Starfire.
Starfire is lovely.
Okay, yes. I hate Star Fox and I hate Hank Pym, but Star Fox looks awesome.
Yeah, that costume redesign. Like they drew him and that
costume redesign was great. And the way he saved the day was just, well, what happens is Hank Pym becomes Ultron. All right, let's go kill Ultron. And then Star Fox just goes, love yourself. And then like it messes the programming in him and he takes off. And I was just like, all right, I can see why this guy's an Avenger. He did a good job saving the day. Like, how else was that? Like, that's the best case scenario. Hank Pym's still alive, but he's neutral, so he's not going to cause a threat.
That's what I thought was cool, is that they took Hank Pym off the board for all this Secret War stuff. And it's just like, oh, we want to separate Hank Pym from Ultron and, like, not have Hank Pym around now that, like, Ultron's our big thing and we want to have it, like, more relate to Tony Stark than Hank Pym. Goodbye, Hank Pym. We don't want to have to deal with the wife-beating issue with you in the films. Go away.
Yeah. Also, Hank Pym is going to be Michael Douglas, who's going to be a mentor character and not the hero.
Which Paul is Rudd's why they Scott launched Lang. That Scott Lang book a couple months ago. Yeah. That Ant-Man book.
So like, if we
Hank Pym, go away.
If we do see Hank Pym come back, he'll just be that much older version of him.
Yeah.
And you can still, and like, it's just like a different Hank Pym.
Like when we made Nick Fury black.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Yeah. It's great.
It can happen.
My favorite thing is, I was putting money off to the side for something else, but apparently I walked in on a toy sale, and I managed to spend a little too much money, but at Chimera Comics, you could find these Marvel Legends, and I just got, the first one I bought was Captain America, then Captain Marvel was given as a gift, then I bought the Agent Venom, and like, we always go down and like look at these Marvel Legends toys at John's house.
Because they're all here.
They're amazing. And like the fact that I saw an opportunity to snag enough to make some of my own, I was just like, this is fantastic. Like I have like now Spider-Girl, Spider-Man, and all this stuff. But the greatest thing in the world for me is that Thanos you have downstairs in the basement.
The Build-A-Figure
from the Build-A-Figure from that series. It is great.
I'm surprised you didn't bring him in here.
I'm surprised
you let go of him.
No,
he would have stopped talking and just been sitting here playing with it.
No, it's great. It's from the Infinity, the Jonathan Hickman storyline.
Yeah.
It's beautiful art. If they ever do like any other figures, that like his Black Order, it would just make that toy even better.
I think if we ever got him, we'd only get the two that survived Infinity.
Yeah. And it's also crazy. And that Hulkbuster one's coming around. Proxima that Build-A-Figure Hulkbuster's coming around. Yeah, the movie Hulkbuster
is going to be.
Yeah, yep. That's going to be great. Yeah.
And after that, there's going to be an Ant-Man wave, which will have Build an Ultron.
Yeah, I'm actually.
So the Ultron will be from the movie.
Yeah.
But the Ant-Man wave will be movie Ant-Man's the only movie figure. And then it's a lot of Avengers villains. Grim Reaper's in there. Bulldozer. Blizzard. Thundra.
Tiger Shark.
Tiger Shark.
Because we needed a Tiger Shark action figure.
I'm going to have him stand next to Aquaman and just be like, just have Aquaman's hand in his mouth. Just because. All right. My greatest thing in the world this week. I missed the, where's the intro music? You just put it in.
Oh, no, it'll drop in later.
Oh, well, I missed, I think.
Well, they heard it.
Well,
now you just sound like you weren't paying attention.
Greatest thing in the world.
That's so cool. Gets me in the mood.
All right, that's what he wants.
Thank you. The new Avengers movie HeroClix came out at the store, which have awesome versions of the new Avengers and a new Ultron army, which the old one has never been beaten by the Avengers. And Steven's been waiting for 2 years for these new Avengers, and he's got some disgusting weapons in his HeroClix box now.
But it's always matched by these crazy Ultrons they always come out with.
I'd say outmatched. It's like,
here's a new unbeatable team for the next 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it's like, but really what's the best figure out of the whole wave, regardless of my feelings for Ultron, they finally made a Hulk that is Hulk. You can just play this Hulk and he can beat anything else in the game.
It's like, he just gets madder.
He just gets madder.
The joke is like you wouldn't like him when he's angry because he gets these things called anger tokens or what is it?
Yeah.
And this whole thing, and basically they can never figure out a way to make these figures work for this game, right? It's kind of like chess with a lot more rules. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the first time this 10-year-old game they've been doing.
Oh, 15 now.
And they haven't, this is the first Hulk in 15 years. That it actually makes, like, you know, it adapts the powers.
Yeah.
How you'd figure it.
Because if there's one piece that should be overpowered in the game, I'm okay with that overpowered piece being Hulk. Because yeah, that's Hulk how it Superman. Should be.
Yeah. And can you imagine if you, like, mind-controlled that Hulk?
Battle Fury can't.
Oh, you can't?
That's why they had to go around with that Scarlet Witch power.
That thing is broken.
Yeah. There are ways to beat it, but I'm not telling you guys yet.
I had a big figure week. I had a big figure day, actually, Thursday. I was working from home, and I got, I had pre-ordered, like, the months apart, but I had managed to get, I got the new Batman animated figures from the shop.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Joker, Robin, Man-Bat. There's no way I'm not getting every single figure in this line.
I can't believe that Man-Bat was the same price.
I know. Man-Bat, he comes with like two sets steel. Of arms, yeah. And two are completely outstretched.
It's like the box is like a foot long.
It's the I thought he was going to cost twice as much because it's like, it's twice as much plastic. Yeah. I understand. Yeah,
but it's the same price.
They're really pulling out all the stops. They fixed all the quality control issues of the first series.
It's a noticeable difference?
Yeah, you can feel it. I didn't have to put it in hot water or anything. All the joints move freely.
Yeah.
They're really poseable. They don't have the pin joints visible in the hips anymore. Loved those. And then on top of that, Thursday, I got three deliveries. One was the Thanos Wave of Marvel Legends that Dave already mentioned, which has Age of Ultron, Cap, Iron Man, Hulk, and then like Hellcat and Batroc. And then I got the Mezco Dark Knight Returns. Got that a couple weeks ago, but I got the blue and yellow oval version, which is also awesome, and you kind of need both versions. And then, but the thing that kind of really surprised me was I got the Arkham City Clayface, which I was not going to get because he was really, really expensive.
Yeah.
And last week, Ben was lining up all the video game figures, and it was just, there was a Clayface-shaped hole. He was way overpriced.
Yeah.
But he's 13 inches tall.
Yeah, this thing is insane.
He's really heavy. And it's maybe, he's basically a Hot Toys, but he's for the DC direct figures.
Yeah.
And they've done such a great job of doing the whole Rogues Gallery from Arkham City.
Yeah, and that's an expansive Rogue Gallery anyway. It's like, it's not just as Batman cartoon villains that you'd be familiar with.
It's guys a big like game, Copperhead. Yeah. Yeah, Copperhead's in the third one, Deadshot, Solomon Grundy.
Yeah.
But I was amazed that DC Direct would go to this length. He comes with like a removable Clayface head, he's a Joker head underneath, he's got a detachable axe hand, he's got ice crystals on his back, because that's the way you beat him in the game.
Yeah.
He's definitely the crown jewel of that line, and it's not a line I was considering being a completist.
Yeah.
But once I got him, I knew exactly why I got him.
Yeah.
And that's about the end of my voice. So that's the end of the show. I'm going to get cortisone shots in my larynx. But you can follow me at Not In My Book on Twitter. Steven, how else can you follow the show?
You can follow the show on Facebook. We have a Facebook, Caffeinated Comics, and I believe we have... you did the Not My Book. Yeah, that's it.
Dave Redfield on what social media? Or Space Kanye on Xbox. 360 if you want to mess around with Destiny.
I just got a smartphone, so I guess I'm on Facebook now for the first time in
it's not your wife.
You've been on Facebook for years. It's just your wife's using your name.
Yeah. It was just like a photo
this
dump,
the first
I guess.
Time it's Stu.
Yeah, that's... Or Stuimus Prime on Xbox, if you want to roll with Destiny.
The store?
19 South LaGrange Road, LaGrange, Illinois.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.